Everyone, it is so good to see you. Honestly, this is one of those things where it's like, oh, my heart cherishes every time that I join a Zoom call and just get to see your faces.
All of
like,
faces.
We miss you so much. We can't wait to get to spend time again with you. And honestly, we're super honored to be with you here today.
It's so amazing that we get the chance to talk about God's complete peace. I feel like I already have more peace from the worship song, the scripture reading. I'm really excited for the rest of this night. And tonight we're going to talk about peace and theology, true and false peace, and becoming a peacemaker.
Okay. So before we go into that, though, I have to tell a short story about a lime tree. And, you know, if you've been over our house, if you know me, I've probably talked to you about this lime tree. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. We were at a county fair. I saw it. I was like, Hannah, this could be me. I could be a lime tree owner. And she said, okay,
sure.
And honestly, it's been really cool having it. And, you know, as Edward's getting bigger and my lime tree's getting bigger, I'm like excited to show him like, hey, this is something in our house that produces something. And I don't know. I think it's really cool just to have some nature inside. And so far, this is the best lime that I've received from said tree. But don't get too excited. That's, maybe a centimeter wide. So it was ready to fall off and it hadn't fully developed yet. Amen. I got some other ones that are cooking. But, you know, it's been crazy because I really feel like my interaction with this lime tree is very similar to how easy it is for us to interact with this idea of trying to find peace in a way. You know, when this pandemic started, when everything was getting crazy, I had so much work to do for the church. There was so much going on with people in our lives. Like, I was on the phone constantly, day in, day out. Like, it was a really tough couple of weeks for us, just in terms of, like, the busyness. And in the midst of that, all of the systems that I had down in place to remind me when to water the lime tree, when to fertilize the lime tree, all of that just stopped. And so then, suddenly, I see it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my tree, it's in need. And so I really went for it. I watered it, I fertilized it, and honestly, I went too far. I didn't know that if your tree has been underwatered and then you overwater it, it will lose all of its leaves in the process. So here's what my tree looks like today. A little less leaves, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it still has hope, it's growing, but honestly, like, this is so often what happens with us. Like, we put our mental health, our peace, our comfort on the back burner. We're not paying attention. And suddenly in the background, our stress levels are rising. We're feeling angry. We're feeling bitter towards people. We don't know why. We're just kind of trying to make it through life. And then suddenly we're like, oh, this is a problem. I can't exist like this. And so we try to overcompensate. We try to fix it. But sometimes that causes even more damage. And, you know, sure, you know, a 7-hour quiet time will probably be incredible, but that's not going to somehow make up for all the time spent not turning to God, not working through that. Like, we cannot ignore our lack of peace, nor we can just slap a one-time fix on it. So we wanted to really talk about some different things tonight that fits into that realm. So first, peace and theology. And so there's this book that I really love. It's called For the Life of the World by Balfe and Crossman. And essentially, there are two academic theologians that are saying most of academic theology is busted because it doesn't contain these three really important things. And they're saying true theology ought to always consider these three main points. One is that it must be descriptive. It should explain who God is clearly and correctly. It must be normative. It has to paint a clear picture of how things ought to be, how our lives should look based on these truths of God, what God is trying to do and reconcile the world to him, what that picture actually looks like to give us an example. And finally, it must be instrumental. It should be practical. It should help us go from where we are today to where God intends us to be. And you know what I mean? If you get just some of this missing, like, you know, it could be very descriptive and very instrumental. And it's kind of like, hey, getting you really excited and giving you a charge. All right, go do this. But without the understanding of, okay, well, what does that actually look like? It's missing, you know? So if it's advocative, but not, you're missing things. And the same thing, you know, you could really have something that's really inspiring and really kind of pushes you to action. But if it's not rooted in God's truth, the whole enterprise is broken. It's not actually what theology is or ought to be. And so in our Bible study, when we're trying to work through topics, it's really helpful to kind of think from these three veins and make sure they're all there with how we try to address a problem or build on a strength or anything like that. So as an example, let's talk through peace from these couple of different lenses. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is a descriptive thing. This scripture kind of opens up some insight into who God is, because by reading it, we learn a little bit about what it means to be a child of God. So it is describing who God is and how we somehow interact with that as his children. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And we're going to return to the scripture in a little bit, but keep it in the back of your mind. Then, normative. Psalm 23:1-4 is a good example of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And this is a very clean and clear picture of what our relationship with God ought to look like. We don't have to always, like, we might not always live in a world where we shall not want. We might not actually let him restore our soul. He might be attempting to lead us and we might reject it. But this is what it should look like. This is what a peaceful life is actually defined by when we talk about what it looks like biblically. And then finally, let's look at an example of something that's instrumental. Psalm 46:1-3, and then jumping down to 8-11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so here is another verse that's kind of looking around comfort. It's kind of looking around fear, but it is incredibly declarative or demanding. It tells us, be still and know that I am God. It's easy for this to be a catchy saying on a mug, but far more importantly is what be still means. It can be redescribed as put your arms down, stop striving, stop attempting to control everything, and know that I am God. And when we take that posture, we find peace in a new way. So again, these three things, it kind of gives us a little picture into what God views peace as, if he expects his children to be peacemakers, how we are called to this very clean and beautiful life of walking with God at peace. And then finally, a very explanative command, be still and know that I am God. That kind of helps us form, okay, how do we do this practically? So Hannah's going to dig into that a little bit more. She talks about false peace and true peace.
Hey everyone, I think that last point that you were saying about stop planning, stop trying to control things, stop fighting, is just so indicative of how I was feeling going into all of this. So I was realizing as everything was becoming more and more stressful and overwhelming and there's more losses and more hopelessness that I was experiencing, that my way of handling becoming peaceful wasn't working anymore. And so I was realizing that a way that I felt peace was in my plans. And there's nothing like a pandemic and stay-at-home orders to make you realize that you are not in control of your life. And so I was really realizing that and seeing that as I got more and more overwhelmed and stressed and sad and hopeless, that just making plans or going through the things that I used to go to, maybe a quick quiet time or talking to someone or watching TV, different things like that weren't really helping with the core needs that I was having. And so there's just so many different things that we can try to look to fill up our hearts and to give us the peace that we're really searching for. But God alone can really give me that peace. And so I was going to the scripture, Isaiah 26, which I think is just such a great description of this peace that we're all craving. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal." This is the type of peace that I was looking for. And so I decided, I was like, okay, I need to understand the scripture a little bit more clearly. So I went on Bible Hub and I was looking into what does perfect peace mean in Hebrew and what does trust mean? Because I think those are such key concepts in me really understanding how to get that peace that I'm searching for, that my heart is needing. And so perfect peace could also be translated to a word we know, shalom. And it means completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, quiet, tranquility, contentment. And so I'm like, okay, this is perfect. This is precisely what I was wanting. But to trust in God could also mean to trust, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure, to cause to trust, to make secure, to feel safe. And so in order for me to have that perfect peace, first I need to go to God to get that peace and trust him. Because if I'm not trusting God, how can I really look at the world and know that there's hope? But also when I go to God, understanding my place in the world, seeing that God has created me with good works in mind, that he's created me with a purpose, really gives me that peace and helps me to be grounded in God, but then to go forth and to do things that he's created me to do. So some examples for me, sharing quiet times with sisters every day. I've done that with Desiree Holloway for like a week or two. I would take photos of my notebook, send them over to her, and she would send them to me. And that was just such a quick way to feel the encouragement, the peace, and the closeness with one another. And then also I have weekly prayer times with some different sisters, and just reaching out to people and showing them God's love and trying to give them that peace that you're getting from God has been so helpful to me. But then too, always having in mind that regardless of the losses or the burdens that I'm feeling through this time, that everyone is experiencing this differently based on what's going on in their lives. So having that grace with one another, if I'm reaching out to someone, not expecting anything in return, but truly looking to encourage people just from the place of wanting to encourage them and not expecting them to bring something back, but resting in that security and that peace from God, that at the end of the day, I can give freely and God is going to be there for me.
Thank you so much. So let's talk a little bit more about peacemaker. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And I read this again because in addition to helping us give some identity of what's our place as wanting to be a child of God, it's also part of the Beatitudes, where Jesus fundamentally flips the power structure of the world. Everything that is, he undoes. And he talks about how the lowly are going to be the ones who are exalted. And he modeled this with his life. He did not come to be served, but to serve others. And this concept is central to how we think about peace and our role in the earth. I truly do not believe that God designed us to just find peace. Instead, he designed us to be peacemakers. And in understanding that role and on taking on that service, we become people who are by nature peaceful instead. If we seek to save our lives, we will not be successful. But if we hand over our lives to God, we find who we are truly meant to be, and in doing so, we become less anxious. We become less afraid. We become peaceful. And here's another example, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Again, this is the same exact pattern. It fits right in. We cannot just seek to find peace. Instead, we have to seek to become peacemakers. Because honestly, this is what it looks like. If we just try and we're just trying to collect our things and just feel okay and safe and secure in this life, then we don't capture it. We don't ever come to a place where we feel good about it. But instead, when we operate the way that the scripture tells us to, when we put down our arms and we look up and we learn who God is, we find out who we truly are meant to be. We find out who he is. We find out what his plan is for the world. And suddenly we realize that our hands, these hands that he's created and made, are meant to be the hands of Jesus. And they're meant that we use them effectively for his good work. And the world is crashing around us right now in fear and in outrageous injustice. We must turn to our Lord, the King of all justice and the King of all comfort, and seek to find out how he intends to use these short lives of ours to continue his reconciliatory work in the world. And then we become those peacemakers. And suddenly, we are peaceful. And that's the way the model works. And that's when we hook together what we know about God, what it means to walk along with him and be comforted by him, and the command of putting down our arms and knowing that it's God. That's what those three things together leads to. And seeking after to become a peacemaker is going to transform our hearts, and it's going to give us a lesser of anxiety. It's going to reduce the stress, and it's going to make us look around at the world and be claimed to be foolish by their standards, but instead to be the ones that are bringing about love and service and a change of this entire world. So thank you so much for your time and your attention tonight. Honestly, you guys give me peace. I love speaking with you. I love talking about God with you. I love praying with you. Let's just continue to take on our role as God's children, peacemakers who are themselves at peace. So thank you so much.
Next up, we have Falake. She'll be sharing how she's been finding peace during this time, and she's just such an incredible example of clinging to God even when everything around you is shifting and confusing and changing.
Thank you, Bobby and Hannah, for that lesson. My name is Falake, and today I'll be talking about finding peace in the pandemic. So it's interesting that I'm talking about finding peace in the pandemic because most of my friends know that I struggle with surrendering and I struggle with finding peace. So I'm going to start talking about finding peace in the pandemic. So when the pandemic happened, it certainly heightened my emotions because the breakout of COVID-19 aroused in my town. During the time, the virus was still new and it was uncertain how to get it and the effect of it. It was going vastly in Inglewood, which I work, and in Teaneck, where I live. When everything was going on, it definitely was hard to find peace in the pandemic because of the unknown of the virus and the unknown of taking precautions. I felt helpless, powerless, because I didn't know how to protect myself. Fast forwarding to the peak of the pandemic, when the state shut down, jobs was closing, and the hospitals were full of, to capacity, I tried to find peace and security in other places to calm my emotions down. Even though I went to God, I still try to find security in the media, such as articles. I would literally wake up anxious and feel like I gotta get the latest update on COVID-19 because I felt the answers were there to all my unknown questions. But then I realized that the media wasn't giving me peace, it was actually adding to my anxiety because I felt like it wasn't stable and it was not consistent. But then I had to remember God is stable and God is consistent. God's been the same before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and even after the pandemic. And I just felt like God has never been changing. He's still the same person. One of the scriptures that I would like to share is Deuteronomy 31:8. And it reads, "The Lord himself go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." So this is like a reassurance scripture that God is with us during this time, and we do not have to be worried. And he definitely says, do not be afraid. I had to remember this, and I also had to remember other promises that God made, because my mom, who's a healthcare worker, is constantly seeing patients, and her patients were dying left and right. And so she was constantly interacting with patients, and I felt like she had the potential to be exposed to coronavirus. Having people in my life definitely was a lifesaver, and it was a blessing, because I felt the support, the love, the prayers from these people. Some of the things that I have learned through the situation is that prayer is very powerful and impactful. Even though you feel like you're not doing anything, just pray. Literally, it's very powerful. And that God is reliable, he's unchanging, and that having people in your life through this time, this crucial time, is definitely a plus and definitely great to have. There's one more scripture that I really, really want to share, because I was clinging on to that, and that's 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. And that reads, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And this scripture definitely just self-explanatory. It tells us that God is comforting us through this time. And it's also a blessing that we can take that comfort that God gave us and still gives us to comfort others. So yeah, thank you for letting me share. Next up is our brother Sean.
Hello everyone. My name is Sean King. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you today on what brings me peace during this during this pandemic. And for me, what helps me find peace during this whole quarantine situation is actually normalizing how I'm feeling. And that can go like a multitude of ways. Whether you're feeling sad or angry or have a ton of anxiety or whatever feeling you may tend to have, like me, it's normal to feel like this. This is a situation that has never happened before in many generations, like to have a worldwide pandemic. And it's okay. And also, it's not only normal to feel this way, because, you know, you're human. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you a bad disciple. It doesn't make you not trust in God. It's just normal. This is how we react to certain situations. And you have to understand that you have to give yourself time to work through these feelings. It is okay if you don't automatically, like, the next day just wake up and get over it. That's fine. Because we have to work through this. This is going to be something that this is our new normal, at least for the next upcoming year plus. And we have to come to that kind of realization. However, what you do with those feelings is what really matters, because reacting to it in a way of like going to a lot of television or a substance or trying to put all your time in some kind of escapism fantasy is not going to fulfill you. I've tried some of that stuff, and it just does not work and it does not fulfill. But what does fulfill for me is surrendering to God. Because surrendering to God, it brings this ultimate form of peace that all of the things just never did. A scripture that helps me is Isaiah 41:10. You know it, all of you. Or some of you, yeah. It says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And for me, that brings a lot of peace, because no matter what, I understand that God no matter what, will always be with me. Through the good and the bad, he is going to consistently be there and always help me. Now, the second part of normalizing, now that we have the concept of it, is the perspective and how to shift the perspective of, okay, I understand that I should normalize it. Okay, how do I see it? And what helps me to see it is actually Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 8, because Ecclesiastes is a very real book that doesn't pull any kind of punches. Now, it helps me see that there is really nothing new under the sun. I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time, but it helps me see that there's a time to be born and the time to die. There's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to search and a time to give up as lost. There is a time for everything. And you have to understand something. This is nothing new to God, and this is nothing new to mankind. Humans have been dealing with plagues since the beginning of time. This is something that is very normal throughout all of our history. And God just so happened to place us during a time of a pandemic. And that's really it. It's just another time in our lives. This is nothing new to God. The plan is still in motion. It hasn't changed since the beginning. And I think we should take comfort in that, because we have to understand that no matter what, God will always continue to be in control. And that is never, ever going to change. Seeing that this is just another time in history, eventually it's going to pass, because we live in a time that we should be grateful for, that we know, at least we know, an end is near. Like, within the next year or two, this will be done, and then the next time will pass over. And that's something that I'm grateful for and helps me realize, because there is an end goal to this. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Not many of our fellow humans in the past have been so grateful to have that kind of foresight. And so my final encouragement to you, what helps me really find peace, is just, what do I do? In the most simplistic terms, I really just seek first the kingdom of God. And I really do believe that all of the things will come. It sounds simple, but that's kind of how it is. When you really seek it, the things just tend to work out. I'm not saying bad things won't happen. I'm not saying people won't get sick. I'm just saying one way or another, God will work things out. Thank you. And next is Lisa.
Hi, my name is Lisa, and I will be sharing about how I am finding peace during this pandemic. For me, finding peace during this pandemic means that I have to make a daily decision to not let what is going on affect me. I work at a pharmaceutical and consumer health company where I have to have face-to-face contact with the people there. In early March, a message was sent out stating that an employee had contracted the coronavirus. At that time, I was not concerned. However, as both the employees and my coworkers kept expressing their concerns and they were wondering why the job site is not being closed, it became more difficult to maintain that sense of peace and confidence in God. From there, things began to change very quickly at work and outside of work. It had gotten to the point where my coworkers and I were wondering if we still have our jobs since we are contract workers. I also have family members who are also essential employees. My mother is a nurse supervisor at a nursing home. Some of my uncles are truckers. My brother works as a financial aid administrator at a nursing school and sometimes makes trips into New York City. And also, my stepfather's immune system is compromised. Outside of that, as you already know, things changed regarding how we meet at church. We are constantly receiving messages about who has coronavirus and who has been affected by the coronavirus. Since I have family members living outside of the U.S., I would hear about those as well. And seeing the daily news briefs on TV did not help either. What is helping me is I have to remember that God is in control. He also commands us not to be fearful. There are many references to that in the Bible. He also commands us not to worry about anything. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and I will just read verses 25 to 27. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Since Jesus said not to worry, therefore I will not worry. I cannot control the virus and all the chaos it's causing. So I have to look to God, who I can trust. I have to make sure that I am not worrying by turning my thoughts to something productive." Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So I have to pray about everything that's going on around me, no matter what. They can be short prayers or long prayers. Also, what I have to do is focus on something productive. In Philippians 4 verse 8 to 9, it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace be with you." So I have to turn my thoughts from the negative and do something positive. I had started learning to play musical instruments such as the guitar and keyboard a long time ago, but I had stopped, so I started back again. I also have the self-paced online classes that I have gone back to taking. I'm also starting to revisit some of my other interests as well. Another thing that I've had to do was make sure that I'm speaking to others, whether it is family members, my church family members, coworkers, friends. And I do not like to talk a lot, and it's very tempting to want to stay to myself. And now that we are social distancing, and it's easier to not attend online services or any of the church function just because you can be easily missed. But it is more important now for me to log on to these more so than before. I also have to try to maintain a schedule as close to the way things were as I can. I also have to remember that because of God, I know that I will make it through, and we can make it through this as well by just relying on God. It is not going to be easy, but as long as God is in control, everything will be all right.